Off the ball.
We'll probably not believe it, but we played against Bohemians. I came out to punch the ball. Punched one of our guys, Ali Gilchrist, in the back of the head.
Wow.
And fractured a bone in my hand, my right hand. And then obviously came out to do the same thing. Tried to punch my left hand, punched Pat Hogan in the head and fractured a bone in the left hand. So you couldn't really make it up.
I was really like just to give up football, really. Like my head was totally gone. And I was thinking, I just want to leave England. I just wanted to leave England, try something new. And a guy I know like just ring me, said, oh, like Limerick want to have a look at you. Then first division in Ireland, they just got promoted. And I said, OK, I'll go.
And Dave, our last image there involves Lee Stacey, Keith Buckley and a very exotic animal. So, yes, the lads went off. Is it to Vietnam, Cambodia and Thailand in the off-season, last off-season?
Yeah, we did indeed. We went travelling for a couple of weeks.
Is that a monkey?
It is.
OK, where did you meet him?
Met him in PP Island, Monkey Beach.
The best League of Ireland podcast in the business. Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store. This is Off the Ball.
Hello there, you are very welcome to the Off the Ball League of Ireland podcast. My name is Jamie Moore. Thank you very much for joining me, as thousands of you do each and every week. And if you're tuning in on the audio version of the podcast, you can also actually watch our interviews in full and for free on youtube.com/offtheball. Now, coming up on this episode, we're going to talk a bit more than just football with Peter Cherry, the Derry City goalkeeper, whose wife Justine has a condition called FND, Functional Neurological Disorder. And Peter will tell us exactly what that is like, and also how he broke both wrists 1 week after the other playing for Derry City, punching players accidentally, but how he hopes to be back on the pitch for Derry against UCD this coming Friday. Speaking of goalkeepers, Lee Stacey of Longford Town would also be here to talk about his move to Longford, keeping clean sheets, the ball at his feet, and also a very nice holiday to Vietnam, Cambodia and Thailand with Bohemians friend Keith Buckley and Shamrock Rovers friend Roberto Lopez, where they went to a place called Monkey Island and actually met monkeys who were a bit vicious. So that story coming up very soon. And Bastian Herrie of Waterford will tell us about growing up in France, playing football for Paris Saint-Germain's second team, some of the lower league clubs in England, moving to Limerick, now playing for Waterford, and how he actually moved to the League of Ireland to play European football. He'll also reveal how he's the best dancer in the League of Ireland and dances his heart away in the Waterford FC training ground every single morning. And some of his teammates don't really like it. That's all on the way on the Off the Ball League of Ireland podcast. So let's get the show on the road.
Off the Ball's League of Ireland podcast. Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Hey, it's Jamie Moore here. You're on the Off the Ball League of Ireland podcast, and I'm very happy to welcome on the phone the Derry City goalkeeper, Mr. Peter Cherry. Peter, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great stuff, Peter. Thanks a million for having a chat with us. Now, before we speak about the football and also the FND charity, which yourself and your wife, Justine, have been talking about recently, how's the injury? Because you've missed the last couple of games, having picked up an injury against Dundalk recently.
Yeah, I had a bit of a hand injury, but it's all going good. Done a lot of rehab with the physio. Took a couple of weeks off and have been back training fully this week. So hopefully, you know, I'm back in contention for the weekend.
Yeah, I suppose from the point of view of being a goalkeeper, getting a hand injury is not ideal, and it means that you can't do anything from a goalkeeping point of view over the last couple of weeks. But the fact that it wasn't a muscle injury around your legs or whatever, I'm sure you've been able to continue in the gym and maybe do some actual football stuff. So to keep yourself in condition that when your hand recovers, you can hopefully go straight back into the team.
Yeah, as you say, it's a nightmare for a hand injury, you know, for being a goalkeeper. But luckily, it wasn't a leg injury, so I've been able to keep the fitness up and do bits and pieces of football. I've not missed any days, you know, training-wise, apart from the goalkeeping side of it. I did try the goalkeeping side of it, but it was too sore, you know, I couldn't do it. So, but regards fitness and stuff, it's all good, you know, I haven't stopped in that respect, but back training this week and all seems to be going well.
And in terms of the injury, Peter, what actually happened?
We'll probably not believe it, but we played against Bohemians a few weeks back, and I think it was the 93rd or 4th minute. I came out to punch the ball, punched one of our guys, Ali Gilchrist, in the back of the head.
Wow.
And fractured a bone in my hand, my right hand. And then the fall, I decided I could play on, you know, and play the following week against Dundalk, and then obviously came out to do the same thing. I tried to punch my left hand, punched Pat Hogan in the head, and fractured a bone in the left hand. So you couldn't really make it up.
So in the space of 2 weeks, Peter Cherry, you managed to fracture a bone in both hands, one punching a teammate accidentally, and then two punching the League of Ireland top scorer from last season accidentally.
Yes, you wouldn't believe it, would you?
You absolutely would not. And it's something we see all the time with goalkeepers. They come out and they punch and they're told by their goalkeeping coach and their manager, take ball, take man, take everything. But in your case, you had hoped to avoid injuries like that. But unfortunately, that's just so random, 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row, I couldn't believe it. I thought actually I could have played on in the dog game, but the physio was at me and he was pressing in my hand. It was just too sore, you know, so I had to come off.
So which hand was the one that caused you to be unable to play for the last few weeks? Was it the left one against Dundalk or the right one against Bowes?
It was the left one.
Okay, nice. But that's thankfully on the way to recovery, and you're hoping to be available for selection against UCD this Friday game. I'm going to be at in the UCD Bowl.
Yeah, well, as I say, I've been training this week and all seems to be going to plan, so I put myself in contention for the weekend.
Great stuff. And Peter, just overall, I know you've not played in the last couple of games, but how have you found life in Derry off the pitch, on the pitch as well? And of course, the reason you went there was to be a number one, having not played too much at Cork last season, and you started the season at least in the team, and I'm sure once you're back, you'll hopefully go back in.
Yeah, well, I love it up here, you know, it's great. Getting into training every day is great, you know, the management, and, you know, Declan Devine, Kevin Deary, Patrick McCourt, you know, it's a great place to be. You know, it's regular football. You know, I wasn't getting at Cork, and I just had to go for a change, you know, and get back playing again, get a fair crack at it. And when Declan rang me, what got me to meet him was, he didn't ask me about football or how I was or anything. He asked me how my wife was. That was his first words. How's your wife? And I thought, well, you know what? If you take your time out to find out about my wife, then I want to come and meet you. You know, because I didn't want to speak to me about football. It's more than my wife was, which was great to hear. So I went and met him, and he was an absolute gentleman, and he just sold the club to me.
Yeah, and Peter, I was going to ask you at the end of the interview about your wife Justine and the FND charity that yourself and I know with the help of the club launched last week, but you've brought it up, so I'll ask you now. Just give us the background to your wife Justine and this FND condition we're seeing. I know you're on the phone, Peter, but just an image of yourself and Justine on the Derry City YouTube talking all things FND action.
Yeah, well, what happened was she was actually working and she just didn't feel right. She worked with special needs kids. And she didn't feel right. Next minute she collapsed at work, and they got her an ambulance, rushed to the hospital. They thought she took a stroke, and they found out it wasn't a stroke. Then they told us it could be a mixture of Parkinson's or MS, but then it was none of those. And we were left going, well, what is it then? Because if you can tell us it is one of them, then we can deal with that. But you're telling us this thing has the symptoms of these, but it's not them. You know, then we found out it's a brain disorder, functional neurological disorder. It just basically means there's a part of our brain that isn't sending the correct signals to our limbs. You know, she could wake up in the morning and not be able to move or not be able to speak. You know, or we could be walking down the street and she could just come to a dead stop. Everything will stop working. She takes seizures. You know, so we have to manage that. It's been life changing for myself and my wife, you know, because we only got married there 15 months ago, and then a couple of months later this happened to her. And as you said about Derry City, they've been on board fully. They've been absolutely great. The lads and the team have been absolutely great. My wife, the supporters all the way, and they made the video, and you know, and it was great to see. It was great to see a club getting right behind us. So yeah, it was good.
Yeah, and I'm sure that has to be so hard, Peter. You know, you have your wedding, you have your honeymoon, and then a couple of months later, your wife is feeling unwell, and I'm sure she goes to the doctor at the hospital thinking that it might be a flu or it might be a bug or it might be something, and then there's a period of time where you're waiting to find out exactly what it is, and you're told what this FND is, and then you see the daily impact, or, you know, every time that it does impact her, how it impacts her in all the different ways. Like, that must have been very tough for you and, you know, obviously for her too, but, you know, being her husband and, you know, having just come through an amazing period of your life, getting married and all that sort of stuff, to have to go and get that diagnosis then.
Yeah, it's difficult to deal with, but it's just now we have to be more careful in things that we do. And, like, I can't really take her, we can't go to concerts or anything like that now because of all the noise and the lights and, you know, it's just simple things that people probably take for granted now that we can't really do. You know, only recently she's found herself, if we're going to a busy restaurant and the noise is too much and it affects her really bad. So now we have to leave, you know, and go and find a quieter place.
Yeah, so yeah, go on. Sorry, Peter, go on.
Oh, no, it's very difficult. We just have to plan more stuff. You know, like if I'm going to football and match nights, I want to make sure she has a rest, you know, for a couple of hours during the day. But then it's a peace of mind for myself. That night, I know she's going to be fine. She's going to be okay. She's plenty of energy. You know, nothing's going to happen. So then I can totally focus on the football side of it. And she knows that herself. She seems to say to me she'll be okay, you know, to go to the games and blah, blah, blah. But it's only, she does it for my peace of mind now. She'll take a wee rest, you know, just for my peace of mind so I can get through the game knowing she'll be okay. So, yeah, you just have to plan. We have to plan a lot more carefully now, you know, to what we can do and where we can go.
Yeah, and I suppose, Peter, as well, like from your point of view as a footballer and as someone who's 35 now and, you know, has played at a very good level of football for the last X number of years, you've never had to head off on a Friday night or a Saturday night or whatever to a match with that concern about your wife and before that your girlfriend in your mind, which I'm sure can't be easy either when come 7:45 on a Friday, you want to try and be 100% fully focused on the football match.
No, but to be honest, I mean, I suppose I'm lucky in the way, Justine, she's always said to me, football comes first. She's always said that from day one. And when this happened to her, I had other options. And I says to her, listen, you come first. You have to come first at this point because this is too important. And she says, no, Peter, nothing changes. I'm going to fight this. I'm going to deal with it. Football comes first. Go and do what you do. And for her to say that to me was unbelievable. Like, I couldn't ask for any more. I wasn't expecting it. You know, because she's been hit with this diagnosis of FND and she's still telling me, no, you go and do your thing. Go play football. I'll be fine. I'm going to fight this. But it's just motivation for me. You know, if I'm thinking, she's struck down with this. She's taking it in the chin. She's fighting it every day. Then I can go and play my football. I know she's going to be fine. You know, I know she's going to fight it all the way and, so it doesn't affect me, you know. It doesn't even come into play on a Friday night because I know she's going to be okay, you know. So it's going to football is a release for me because I know everything's fine. I know she's fine, and the people at Derry have absolutely took to her 100%, and all the medical staff at the games and the stewards and everything all look after her and help her with whatever she needs, bring her cups of tea, and you know they took her to her heart. It's absolutely great.
Yeah, fantastic that she's still able to go to watch you guys playing as well in what has been a really good start to the season at a very new look Derry City as well, Peter. Just lastly on your wife Justine and on the FND, if people want to find out more about her story or about, you know, how they can help or exactly what, and I know people can go to YouTube and search up Derry City FC and you'll see it's one of the most recent videos that the club have posted with all of the players, you know, and yourself and Justine speaking about it as well. And also, yep. Peter, quite a funny video, and I know the word funny is not very applicable here, but of all your teammates who won't be becoming TV presenters anytime soon because they couldn't actually read a 5-second piece off a paper without really messing it up.
Listen, don't give any of them TV jobs, you're right. No, it wasn't even a 5-second piece. They'd literally read a couple of words off a little card and they couldn't even keep a straight face for 2 seconds. No, but listen, it was funny, it was great. I mean, my wife was there, she was sitting watching all the boys doing it and it was absolutely hilarious, to be honest.
But some of them couldn't even say their own names.
You know, they got the video done, but it was a great laugh and it was great support for Justine and it was great for her to be there and see it all, you know, and the management got involved as well. And to be honest, I think the management were worse than the players, but I don't think they showed as many clips today in the YouTube video.
Yeah, I think one of your teammates, Owen Stokes, actually said, "I'm Owen Stokes from Derry FC City," as opposed to Derry City FC. So they were that flustered by being on camera, they couldn't even say their own name in the football club, never mind what was on the cards in front of them.
Well, listen, that's what I'm dealing with. You know, that's why we're footballers. We don't have brains. You know, we're not going to be TV presenters or anything like that. But no, the lads were absolutely great. I mean, I think you see Paddy McLean, I don't think he got one word out before he started laughing.
So yeah, I'm sure if people want to watch those videos, it's on the YouTube page of Derry City Football Club, Peter. But just on a serious note, where can people go to find out some more information on FND, on Justine's story?
Well, to be honest, there's not that's the thing with this FND, there's not a whole pile out there on it. It's actually World FND Week as of now, from the 7th to the 13th of the month. And it's a worldwide thing. There was a thing on in Belfast two weeks ago. My wife was at. But as I say, it's not a whole, you can't really find out a great deal about it because nobody seems to know that much on it. You know, the doctors and things like that, they don't really know what it is because, I mean, they're telling us it could be Parkinson's, it could be MS, it could be this, it could be that, but it's none of them. So you're left going, well, I still don't know what that is. You know, how do I deal with what I don't know what it is? But, no, see, you just, it's only Google. That's all you can do is Google it, FND, and what comes up is basically what my wife are left to read. You know, and all the people out there with FND, that's what they're left to read. You know, and how to deal with what happens, because it's not just seizures and paralysing your body that this comes with. I mean, it comes with a whole host of things. You know, you can have bowel problems. Any amount of stuff comes with this functional neurological disorder. So it's not just one thing. You know, so that's what I'm saying. It's not a whole pile out there. You can't get that information. I mean, I'd love to be able to say, oh, you can go to this site and you get the information, but I've yet to find it.
Yeah, well, even now, I mean, I'm having a look, I've got a laptop in front of me and I've just typed in FND into Google, and normally if you type in any sort of a medical condition, hundreds of links come up with different things and different doctors and different videos, and there's just not too much here at all, Peter, so it's something I'm sure that you guys are having to learn and deal with kind of on a daily basis. Is there hope from doctors and from medical professionals that, you know that in the case of Justine, that they can find a medication and find a help for her, and you know, is it possible that eventually she might be able to get better, or is this something that she'll have to live over the rest of her life?
Well, what we're getting from doctors is that she's going to have this for the rest of her life. I think that's what we're getting from it. But she was in hospital over here, and they were telling her, "Oh, you could you'll be working in no time. You'll be able to run marathons and what have you," and be listening to it thinking, okay, that's great news, that's fantastic. But then nothing was happening, and then all of a sudden it backtracked to, well, now you might have this for life, basically. So we went from one extreme to the next. So they're not saying there's massive cure out there or anything like that. It's a lot of physio, a lot of psychology, and it's just... I don't even know how to put it, because there's not that much out there, you know. It's just, you've got to deal with it on your own. Basically, I mean, we take all the medical professionals, we take all their information on board, and we'll say, well, if that works for us, excellent, if it works for us, but we'll take it on board, but at the same time, we're going to go ahead and do our own thing anyway. It's, we think's making Justine better. You know, we'll do our own rehab, you know, to try and get her better. Because at the end of the day, we're not getting much information out there from anybody else.
Yeah, and like, I was going to ask you more about the football, Peter, but I'm actually not going to now, because this story just shows that life is about more than football, and it's something that, you know, we all love the League of Ireland so much, and all the fans and the players and the managers, you know, really do depend on a win on a Friday night for their mood and you know, all that sort of stuff as well. But when you hear stories like this, and I'm sure for you, no more than anybody else, it really hits home that, you know, football is great, but it's football, it's not life, and it's there's so many more things in the world that are going on that are so much more important.
Yeah, 100%. There's always somebody out there, you know, that's worse off than ourselves. But as you say, it's, it's not the be all and end all football. But I mean, if you ask Justine, it is the be all and end all. You know, if she loves her football, she won't miss a game. She'll always go to a game. So, but I mean, it's great. You know, she's still getting out to go to the game. She's lucky in that respect. She's still able to do it.
Nice.
You know, so it's great for her.
Yeah, well, hopefully I'll bump into her maybe at the UCD Bowl on Friday with her husband, Peter, back in goal for Derry and keeping clean sheets, hopefully in a win. And what's really been a good season and a great start for Derry, which hopefully they will continue in the coming weeks. Peter, thanks a million. Hopefully the hand gets better. Best of luck to yourself and to Justine as well. And we'll speak to you again. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks a million, guys. Thank you.
The best League of Ireland podcast in the business. Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store. This is Off the Ball.
Hey, it's Jamie Moore here. You're on the Off the Ball League of Ireland podcast, and I'm very happy to welcome a man with possibly the best hairstyle in the greatest league in the world to our podcast, Bastian Herrie of Waterford. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. I'm good.
Bastian, thanks for having a chat with me. Now, you're wearing a hat today, so you're not actually showing off the great hairstyle. Why not?
I always wear hats. I don't know. I always wear hats.
Unless you're on the football pitch, of course.
Yeah, I know.
Now, Bastian, you've been around the league for a couple of years. Of course, you played for Limerick before you've played for Waterford. You were in the PFAI Team of the Year last year. And, you know, you've done interviews across a little bit of time, but I've never really heard the story of how you actually ended up in the League of Ireland, and you would have signed for Limerick back in 2017. So just for those wondering, how did you end up here in the League of Ireland and your history before that? You played for Paris Saint-Germain's second team, Sheffield Wednesday, Rochdale, Carlisle and Accrington Stanley before you came over here.
Yeah, it's been up and down, you know. After I was in France, I went to England for 4 years and a half, I think. But I had a good time and hard time in England. And I had 6 months at Accrington where I didn't play at all. And it was really hard for me. So I was really like just to give up football, really. Like my head was totally gone. And I was thinking, I just want to leave England. I just wanted to leave England, try something new. And a guy I know, like, just ring me, said, oh, like, Limerick want to have a look at you. Then first division in Ireland, they just got promoted. And I said, okay, I'll go. And I went over there. I came over here, like, to watch the facilities, have a chat with the manager, see the training ground and everything. And after, I said, okay, I'll sign. Like.
Yeah, so I'm right in saying Martin Russell was the manager then at Limerick, was it?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Okay, so you signed for Limerick, and at that time, Limerick were in the process of trying to get things back in order and going from the First Division to the Premier Division as well. What attracted you to them? Yeah. And when you first got the call to say that someone in the League of Ireland might be interested, you know, you are from France and you played in England, so I'm not sure how much you knew about the league. What were your first impressions then when you came over?
I didn't know nothing about the league, to be honest, nothing at all. My impression, to be fair, I wanted something new, so I didn't really look at all them things. I just wanted to enjoy my football again, get back on track. You know, I was really unfit when I got to Limerick, and I just want to enjoy my football again. So I went there, you know, enjoyed. The lads was good with me and everything, you know, and I don't know, I just signed and tried to get back fit and get going again, you know.
Yeah,
I just signed.
Yeah, go on, sorry,
just,
go on.
Like, I just wanted something new, to be honest, like just restart something.
Yeah, and when you signed for Limerick, of course, we mentioned Martin Russell, and he's been known to play a really good style of football as well. And I'm not sure when you were in the lower leagues in England if any of the teams played a passing brand of football. But certainly when you came to Limerick with Martin, he was a manager who played to your strengths as a midfield player who wants to pass the ball and wants to go and get the ball off the back four and play.
Oh yeah, to be fair, me as a player, like, if my team don't play football, I won't enjoy it at all. So yeah, to be part of this, it was good. You know, I had a really good year over there. You know, I get back playing week in, week out, and I really enjoy my season down there. Yeah,
so you moved from Limerick and you signed for Waterford at the beginning of last season. And of course, it was the first season for Waterford back in the Premier Division as well, under Alan Reynolds, unbelievable crowds and a really good season, ending up in the top four and making Europe in the end. How did you find your first season, you know, at a club that was going to be towards the top end of the Premier League?
To be honest, like, I didn't know nothing either about this club before I signed there. But I signed there, and when we got starting back, like, you know, we had a great dressing room straight away. Like, all the players went well together. I don't know, we were feeling it. Like, we're going to have something good this season, like.
Yeah, and I suppose in the end, you know, the season ended with Europe and a really, really fantastic, you know, campaign overall, with lots of new players as well. I know some players have come up from the first division the previous year as well, but how did the manager and the coaching staff there kind of work the magic to go from the first division, albeit a very good squad and, you know, I'm sure quite a good budget in comparison to teams in the Premier, but to be able to actually be at the top?
Okay, so yeah, I think the staff and the team, like, a really good connection, you know. And I think the manager, the staff look after the player really well, and the player give back to the staff, you know. And I think, like, I don't know, like I said, like before, like last year was the best dressing room I ever had in football. Like, it was no problem. Like, we were all together, the staff and the team all together. Like, it was no, like, something to hide or whatever. It was all together.
Yeah, and for you, having never been in the league before apart from one season, and of course being French and having been a young footballer in France and of course sometime in the UK as well, how did you find, like, the culture of an Irish football club and the Irish people in the dressing room and the manager and the people around the club and the fans in comparison to what you had seen before?
To be fair, like, very friendly people, like, you know, like, very different to England or even France. Like, everyone's, like, happy. Everyone's, like, very genuine, like, happy to be there. And if they can help, they will help you, and vice versa, like.
And then things moved to this season, Bastian, and, you know, there was some commentary in the off-season about the number of players under contract at Waterford. And I know, listening to Alan Reynolds speak, and he said it took him a bit of time to finally put the squad together. Has that shown in the league so far that maybe, you know, it took a while to get the full squad up for pre-season and things really raring to go this year?
I think, yeah, I think that can be part of it. But I think we gained together, you know, we picked up some points the last recent game, except last Friday we lost at UCD. But I think, like, we're on the way, like, to get back on it. Like, I think Friday we play Shamrock Rovers. It's a big game ahead. But, like, I think we're moving forward. Like, anyway, we only can get better.
Yeah, you had two really good home wins, of course, as well, over St. Pat's 2-0 and 4-0 against Finn Harps. You also beat Galway in the League Cup too. So that match last Friday in UCD, a 4-1 defeat, was that a surprise for you guys? And I know last year as well, you lost there in the FAI Cup semi-final as well. Or in the FAI Cup quarter-final, should I say.
It was a surprise, to be fair. Like, I didn't start the game, but I was, like, so, like, I was, like, very, like, frustrated, like, because, like, we didn't deserve to lose 4-1, like. But it's football anyway, like, we have to just get down the sheen and move forward to Friday, because a lot of games this month coming up, and we have to respond well on the whole month. Like, I think we got, like, 6-7 games ahead, so we can't stay on that game, you know.
Yeah, and for someone, Bastian, we've spoken about your love of playing passing football. What have you made of playing against UCD in the game on Friday and in the league, in the FAI Cup game last year? Because, you know, for such a young team, they do play a really, really exciting brand of football, and a brand of football that your own team hasn't been able to handle in the last two times that you've played them.
Yeah, true. True. Like, I think they play really good football. I think it's this team, like, if you let them play, that's your danger. Like, you need to try, like, stop them playing from the back and get in their face, like, and that's what we didn't do the last two times we played against them, to be honest.
Yeah, and you'll be back up again this weekend, Bastian, in Dublin on Friday, playing against Shamrock Rovers, who have started the season really well. You've played them, of course, once already this year. What do you make of them and the task that you guys face in Tallaght Stadium on Friday?
Oh, I think we're going to be ready for it, you know. Everyone want to play the top of the league. Everyone want to, like, I don't know how to say, like, you know, to make, like, them, like, lose their head and lose some points on that day, you know, like.
Yeah, I suppose because they're a team now at the top of the table, everybody wants to beat them, and they've done so well so far. Yeah. So I think that might be the point that you're trying to make, to go to Tallaght to beat them and to really, you know, make a statement from a Waterford point of view.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think everyone want to beat them at the moment, you know. Everyone want to, like, make them drop points, like.
And Bastian, just on the, I suppose, the process of you now becoming, you know, an experienced League of Ireland player, in terms of it now being your third year, How have you found playing against all the different teams that you've played against? And you'll play against Shamrock Rovers this Friday, for example, who are a very different team to Finn Harps. And I'm sure in all of the leagues you've played in, there has been, you know, a difference in style and the similarities between the teams. But now you're probably, you know, from a personal point of view, you know, when you're going to Rovers, the players that they have, the style that they play and that sort of stuff, which I'm sure took you a little bit of time to get to know.
I think it's just football, you know. Every league got that type of team, you know. Some team play football, some team don't. I think you just need to adapt yourself and give your team the best you can do, like, in both ways. Like, if we play football or if we don't, like, you know, it's at the end of the day, the game is a fight. Either if you play football or if you're not, like, the better team will win the game.
Of course, and speaking of, you know, you being in the team, Bastion, as well, you were in the, I suppose, the best 11 players in the league last year, certainly in your position in the PFAI Team of the Year. How happy were you to have achieved that? And I know you really enjoyed the awards night last year. I was there myself. And you were very well dressed, sir, in a very nice suit.
I really enjoy, you know, like, I think as a player, everyone loves to be in the Team of the Year, like, of this league, you know. And I think that was a massive achievement for me. Like, this last year was one of the best seasons, like the best season I had, like football wise, you know. I played every game, I scored goals, we got qualified for Europe, you know, so I was so happy. Like,
and what do you expect now from Europe, Bastion? And I'm sure maybe one of the reasons why you came to Ireland was because, you know, the opportunity to play in Europe. And if you look at the clubs that you played with in England, of course, they'll never play in Europe ever, and their players won't either. So to have come to Ireland, Limerick and then Waterford, and to have done so well last year, looking forward to the Europa League qualifiers later on this summer.
I think, you know, why I came to Ireland is to try to play European football, and now I got a chance. I'm going to give myself 100% to be ready for this, because this is really something I look forward to. And I think all the players in the team, you know, like every players, when you got a European, like, play, like, it's massive, like.
And when you first, you know, signed for Limerick and you came to the League of Ireland and you say you wanted to play in Europe, how realistic was that ambition in your head then, given that you kind of knew nothing about what you were coming into?
I don't know, like, the guy who ring me said, oh, you can go to Ireland, first division, like, they play Europe. And when he said they play Europe, I think that's an opportunity, like, that's something every player will want to do, like, is play in Europe, like. And I just went, listen, I need a new start. So I just take, like, I just take the risk and just go for it, you know, like, give myself 100% and to enjoy my football again. And that's what I'm doing right now, you know.
What do you expect from these European games, Bastion? Of course, we don't know who you're going to play yet, but because you're French and, you know, I'm sure you've kept an eye on different teams around Europe across your career and playing in different places as well, I'm sure you're very excited. But what do you expect, and do you think it'll be much of a different style to the League of Ireland games that you've been involved in?
I think, like, we need to focus on us more than anything else, you know. I think the worst team you can play against is your team, because on a day, if you're bad, you're going to have a bad day. So I think you need to focus on us and nothing else, really.
And on that, Bastion, very finally, speaking of focusing on you, I've been told by a Waterford teammate of yours that you're the best dancer they've ever seen. Tell me more.
No, I love dancing, you know. Like, I've been dancing since I'm young, you know. I love dancing and nothing going to change, you know. Always in the dressing room, I'm dancing, you know, play the music, you know. That's me, like.
So, Monday morning, you're going into training. You're actually in the changing room dancing.
Yeah, I put some music, like, I dance, I, like, you know, like, singing, you know. I'm happy to be there, so I'm just enjoying my day, you know.
Of course, and I'm sure that has, you know, an impact on the rest of the teammates who might be a little bit tired on a Monday morning, and you come in and lift their mood.
I think some of the players think I'm crazy. Some of them think, like, oh, I had enough of this guy, but I don't care, you know, I do what I have to do.
And how do your dancing skills compare to maybe some of the local League of Ireland lads? Do any of the Irish lads try and give you any sort of a dance-off, or are you the one and only top dancer in the Waterford dressing room?
I think I am. Not to be big time, but I think I am, yeah.
Great stuff. Bastionary, thanks a million. The best of luck on Friday. We'll speak to you soon.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Off the Balls League of Ireland podcast. Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Yeah, interesting stuff there from Bastian Herry of Waterford. And that interview, along with our chat with Peter Cherry, you can watch them on youtube.com/offtheball. Peter was on the phone, but Bastian joined us from his home on Skype. Now, the fixtures in the Premier Division this weekend. I'm going to be at the UCD Bowl to watch UCD taking on Derry City. That game is a 7:45 kickoff on Friday evening. At the same time, an important game for both Sligo Rovers and Dundalk. That game is down in the Showgrounds, while Cork City host St Patrick's Athletic. Two games kick off at 8 o'clock. It's Finn Harps against Bowes, and then Shamrock Rovers, top of the table, hosting Waterford. There's also a full programme of fixtures on Monday. We'll have more from all of those across our Off the Ball channels on the weekend. Now it's time for our First Division focus, and we're going to be joined in studio now by Lee Stacey, Longford Town goalkeeper. Lee, thanks a million for coming in. How are you?
Thanks very much, Jamie. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Delighted to be here.
Now, Lee, we were just saying, I've been at your only two home league games so far for Longford Town, against Drogheda and against Shells. Two clean sheets, so it's been decent home form so far. I'm going to be at your game against Bray on Saturday as well.
Yeah, two really tough games. Like, obviously, Drogheda and Shelbourne both going for promotion like ourselves. So, to win both games and keep two clean sheets, scoring 5 goals, very happy, yeah.
Now, there's been some debate about a save that you made in that Drogheda game, and I want to just show our viewers now, if we can roll that, please. This is a save. Lee, look to your left there. Oh, Jesus, what a save, says the people in the crowd. Can we see that one more time, please, just for another little look, a little action replay? So it's a cross into the box, it's flicked onto the front post. Bang, you've saved it. So I was at the game and I tweeted straight away saying it was one of the best saves I've ever seen. What did you see of it and how did you make it?
I don't know, I was just constantly moving with the ball. So it's just my footwork got me there, like, because obviously I'm not the biggest goalkeeper in the world, but just footwork kept me eye on the ball, and then I have a good spring, so I just went for it, and I got a nice hand on it and out it went. So thankfully it was a nice save, and it's done the rounds, it's done well online, so yeah, I'm delighted with it.
Yeah, I should say that video courtesy of the Longford Town Twitter page. Is it the best save you've ever made?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, what was the best one?
I think against St. Pat's in the Leinster Senior Cup final last year, I pulled one off on Ian Birmingham. It was a cross again, another header actually, but I kind of had to go across the goal, and then he went, it was going top corner over the other side, so I had to get, I don't know how I saved it, I got all the way across and just tipped it around the post. So I think that might have edged it.
So they're both what you would call reaction saves, that you don't have too much time to see it, it's just all the kind of short stuff you've done in training, yeah. And then you're kind of, it's almost like muscle memory sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly, like that's why we do these sort of movements in training. It's mainly footwork, like it's not anything else, it's literally using your feet and the quickness of your feet to get you there to make the save.
And it's the one thing that, you know, we always speak about, you know, striker scoring late winning goals and stuff, but that save, for example, keeps a clean sheet, and I know you guys won that game by more than one goal, but for example, if it had been a 1-0 victory, you're going, that's actually a match-winning save, like.
Yeah, well, if you look at that point of the game, obviously you were there. We went in 0-0 at half-time, and we changed formation. We were playing with no wingers, so Drogheda had a lot of chances. Now, as did we in that half, but another day, I don't save one or two of them, and they go in, and you might not win that game at all. Like, you could lose like 1-0 on the other side of things. So, to pull off them saves and help the team get the 3 points, it's usually important, and we're on a good roll now, so kind of moments like that kind of spur you on, you know?
Yeah, and I love seeing, like, if a keeper makes a save or like a centre-back makes a match-winning block, they actually kind of celebrate as if they've scored a goal, and it's something that not too many players do, but to actually realise, God, I've actually made a massive contribution to the result here.
Yeah, definitely, like, to be fair, it's my first time as a number one, and I've obviously started the season and I've contributed in nearly every game we've played with decent saves, and we are still unbeaten. So yeah, it's huge. Like, and equally, when the lads are scoring goals, I'd be joining in with them and celebrating as much as I can. I'd be nearly out of breath coming back after I run the length of the pitch to celebrate with Sam Vernon or Dane Bourne or whoever's scoring the goal. So yeah, it is. It's as important as striker scoring goals.
Yeah, you mentioned as well it's your first time being a number one, and you played for Shamrock Rovers back as a kid and spent time at Bowes, at Bray, and most recently at Shells. Your last time on the podcast last year, you actually said you weren't sure if you were going to stay at Shells because you wanted to be a number one. The opportunity came to move to Longford, and you've played every game. How have you enjoyed kind of going into training every week knowing that if you perform to your level, you're going to be picked on the Friday night or in the Longford home case on the Saturday night?
Well, yeah, as you said, last year on the podcast, I think it was August, just before there was the launch for the Cup. Yeah. I had already made up, I was going to be a number one wherever I was. So whether that be at Shells or somewhere else, I was just going to be a number one. So you can't be playing. And I've only played 6 league games and I've got a lot of publicity for it so far. I've kept 4 clean sheets in 6 games. I've won player of the month for Longford in my first time actually playing. So it's great. It gives you a great sense of belief. I'm still a young goalkeeper, so I've loads to look forward to. And like, if there's one or two things that don't go right fit in the game, which thankfully things have went well enough so far, you can look to on what you can improve on in training. So look forward to each day, and you're always constantly looking forward to the next game and working towards how we can perform the best you can.
What age are you as a young goalkeeper?
26.
Okay.
But I do only feel about 20, that's being honest with you.
Is that because you haven't been kind of in the kind of first team every week for the previous clubs, or?
Well, I don't think so. I think I've been ready the last couple of years. I think I've just been unlucky to play behind Dean Delaney twice, Peter Cherry and Shane Supple for a couple of months. So I've been unfortunate with the goalkeepers I've been behind. But I do feel I've been ready now. Obviously, I'm definitely ready now. I'm playing, but just my body. I feel fresh. Obviously, we all have little niggles, but like, I feel I'm flying. Like,
so talk to me about being the goalkeeper for Longford, because we've spoken about the saves and the clean sheets and that side of the game. You've also said yourself that you're not as tall as some other goalkeepers in the league, but it doesn't affect your playing. But then also watching Neil Fenn teams play, they do look to pass the ball and play out from the back, and like, in comparison to some other teams, certainly in the first division, the amount of time you would have the ball at your feet in a game and being asked to actually play a pass to someone that, if the pass doesn't get where it needs to go, you probably concede a goal or at least give the other team a proper chance to score. And that's something that, for example, when you were playing at Shells were like, yeah, bang, 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 let's knock the ball long, whereas Longford are totally the opposite.
Yeah, well, I think if you look at the Cup team that Shells played last year, we played a lovely brand of football and we done really well in some competitions. We obviously won one of them and then we were beaten by Derry. And the EA Sports Cup, which they went on to win, but we played a lovely brand of football, and it was the same when I was playing college football with DIT. It was all from the back, and I was never necessarily, that was never my strongest point, but I've worked on it in the last number of years, especially with Ian Fowler at Bray Wanderers. He really helped me with footwork, and I always had a decent ping of a ball, but necessarily playing from the back wasn't my strongest, but I've worked really hard in it. I'm always a force train and last leave, and that's what I'd be working on, and it's actually one of the strong points of my game. And when Neil asked me to meet up, what he said to me was he'd seen me a couple of times playing, and he was very impressed with the type of goalkeeper I am. Shot stopping was good, comfortable taking crosses, and I can play from the back, and obviously that's the way he builds his team. So I felt quite privileged to be asked to sign for Longford with that type of manager and the style of football they play. So
how much work have you, you know, you mentioned your work at Bray under Ian Fowler and stuff, and I'm sure as well at Longford, how much work goes in from an individual point of view in kicking and the different types of passes you have to play, and then also in the actual, you know, small side of games and in the sessions where you're being asked to kind of try to do these things which then translate onto the pitch and the games?
It's endless amount of work. Like, it's not necessarily you're constantly kicking or whatever, it's mainly just getting your touch right. That's the main thing, your first touch. So I suppose when I signed at Bowes first with Fred, it was mainly getting me up to speed physically wise. Then I moved on to Bray and then really worked on my touch, and then my kicking was always decent. So it just implemented that into the small games and phases of play, and I'm really comfortable at that. And even on here, last year, when he recommended me to Neil, he said, yeah, he's one of the best passers on the pitch, never mind, as a goalkeeper. So you're constantly working on it all the time. Like, if you stop working on your touch or whatever, you will notice it won't be as good. So yeah, constant work, it's endless.
Yeah, so things then come on to match day and you're being asked to try and do the exact same things. I remember a game I saw early last year and Mick Kelly was in goal, and it was one of those ones where I can't remember who it was against, but he played a pass late in the game. It was against Cove and Longford were winning, and he played a pass late in the game, lost the ball, Cove scored to equalise, and Longford dropped 2 points. And I'm sure Neil Fenn would have said afterwards, you know, you know, why did you lose the ball? But at the same time, he's asking you to play, so you have to try and make sure that you do get it right, because if you don't get it right, it gives the team a chance. But when the manager wants you to play, I'm sure that gives you some sort of a freedom to go, well, he's asked me to do it, so if it doesn't go right, I'm not fully at fault. Like,
See, this is what's great about Neil. Like last year, I think Longford were a little bit guilty of overplaying a little bit, and especially at the wrong times. But Neil trusts me enough to make the decision that's best for the team. So I play as much as I can, but I've also an accurate enough long pass to play forward when we need. So if I think the team's going to be at risk, like I'm not looking for necessarily the first pass, it's the second pass. So if I'm not passing to a player thinking, oh, there, I've done my job, I'm thinking, what has he got on? Now, generally, we're good at getting out of areas anyway, but if we're 1-0 up with 20 minutes to go, I'd be looking to put it on either Aaron Dobbs or Jamie Doyle's chest, something like that. And so far, they've been quite accurate. They've been landing generally on where they're supposed to go. So we'll continue to do that unless we're told otherwise, you know.
Yeah, and in terms of Longford overall, I was just looking at the league table here. You know, it's still quite early in the season, and like Longford are top on 14 points, played a game less than a lot of the teams around you. Limerick on 14, and then you've got Drogheda on 13, Cabinteely maybe surprisingly on 13, then you've got Shells and Bray on 12, and that's the top six. And you're looking at that going, everybody was saying Shells are going to walk away with this league, and that hasn't been the case so far. And Longford have the best defence, you've got the best goal difference in +7. It's been a really good start, considering even the players that Neil lost in the off season. Like, looking at the table now, it's been a great start.
Yeah, definitely. Everyone's talking about Shells and Bray, and they both have decent squads. But I think Longford at the moment we're hungry. We've a lot of young lads, and I know there's one or two older lads as well. But we're hungry to impress. You know, we're a good team unit there as well. We're all fighting for each other. Even the win against Wexford there the other night, we fought endlessly for each other. And that's what, one or two times, Anto has headed the ball off the line against Drogheda. Shane Elwardy the same against Shells. And, that's the difference. We're willing to die for each other. And I think that will go a long way towards the end of the season in the promotion race. These lads actually have a point to prove and will back each other. It is obviously a really tough league. You lose a game and you're sixth or seventh, it's mental. So we'll be looking to stay unbeaten for as long as possible and just keep on trying to do the right things on the pitch.
So how do you work on that team culture that you've just spoken about, you know, the team wanting to fight for each other, being friends off the pitch? And I'm sure that there's lots of work goes in, you know, from the point of view of the players in seeing each other away from the training ground, not just going on the piss, but maybe going for a game of golf or going for a Nando's or going for a coffee. And then when you do go onto the pitch, that definitely makes a huge difference. But not every team is like that. So how have you guys been, especially with the amount of new players in the group, being able to kind of nail that down so quickly?
Yeah, I think no matter what, if you've good lads in the dressing room, it will just happen automatically. And we have a good mix, mainly young players, but if Paul O'Connor and Conor Kenny, a couple of more experienced boys, and Dean Zambra as our captain. So I think it's just about having a good laugh in the dressing room before training or whatever. Because we've only had one team night out. Now we are looking to organise another one down the line, but it's not a big drinking team or anything like that. So it's just having a good laugh with each other before we obviously start working. And I think we do that well. I think Darren is a good vocal point. He's always in the mix. He's obviously a local hero, and we get a good laugh out of him, and we'd be calling along for the Dublin club, just winding him up and everything like that. And it's good. We've good bunch of lads in that team.
Dervin's done really well as a local lad at midfield. But speaking of Dublin, you guys actually train in Dublin as well, and I think at Lone do it, and some of the League of Ireland clubs that are based around Dublin, lots of the players, all of them nearly, are from the Dublin area. The managers, for example, in the case of at Lone, Terry Butler is a Dub, Neil Fenn lives in Dublin, even though he's originally from England as well. So you guys actually have to jump in a carpool to go to your home games, but for your all your sessions, and when you're playing the likes of Shells and others, you're actually, you don't have as far to travel.
No, it's gas, all the home games are nearly the way ones.
Yeah.
But you don't mind, Longford's only down the road, and you were saying about carpool, and me and Jet, I drive the van, so me and Jamie Hollywood go everywhere together, and we'd have a little song and we'd have a dance and whatever, and then we'd get Nando's every Thursday, and we eat as much as we can together. So being him to have a great laugh as well, you know. But it is, you go to Longford though on every second Saturday, whatever, but you don't mind at all because it's such a great pitch generally. And yeah, it feels like, it doesn't feel like it's, obviously I said all the home games for me are away once for Longford. I don't mind travelling down there once every 2 weeks and playing on decent surface.
Yeah, I really enjoy going to Longford myself as well. And for doing this podcast, we do, you know, as much on the First Division as we do on the Premier, but because on a Friday night, just generally games in Dublin involving the Premier clubs, and we have to cover them because it's the Premier League. So I enjoy going to Longford on a Saturday and being able to see, for example, I haven't seen Bray yet, I haven't seen Shells, so I saw them against you guys and stuff, so I'll be able to go there every Saturday. It's only an hour and a bit from the Lucan's Pass, so it's not bad. And we'll both be there on Saturday, Lee, watching Longford against Bray. We've spoken about how tight the league table is, and Bray coming off the back of a 1-0 defeat to Shells last weekend. The Bray manager was in your seat last week, Gary Cronin, and spoke really well about, you know, his team and what they're trying to do and what they're trying to build. And just on that team, do you get to see many of the other First Division teams, given that you guys play some home Saturday games? Do you, on a Friday night, head to somewhere in Dublin to watch maybe some of the other clubs?
Yeah, well, as I said there, me and Jamie actually try and get to as many games as we can. Like, I'm a big League of Ireland fan. I love football, so I try and get out and watch as many games as possible. I was only at the Ireland 21s game there, whenever it was there, 2 weeks ago. And I was at Cabin Tealy the day before, and I bumped into Keith Long both days, and he said, "Will you take a day off?"
You said the same to him.
Yeah, exactly. He was there about the day. So me and Jamie are going to head up to Drogheda now on Friday and watch Shells against Drogheda. I think that'll be a good game. And yeah, I've seen Shells a good few times, seen Bowles, I've seen Rovers. So yeah, get to as many games as I can. I think Shells, the only game is Rovers and Waterford in Dublin. So I think Drogheda and Shells will be a tastier match to go and watch. So we're going to head up there.
Yeah, the games in the First Division this weekend, as Lee mentioned, Drogheda against Shells is a 7:45 kickoff. All the games actually 7:45. It's Limerick against Wexford, Cabin Tealy at Lone, and also Galway against Cove. And that one game on Saturday, Longford against Bray, that is a 7:30 kickoff. And I think there's one other Premier game in Dublin on Friday. Is there UCD? Yes, UCD against Derry is on. I'm going to go to that and watch UCD. So that's involved in the Premier as well. So when you go to those games, then do you like take mental notes, take physical notes? Do you speak to your goalkeeping coach, speak to your manager and go, "Listen, I watched Bray 2 Fridays ago and I think this is what we might do"? Or do you just head along as a fan and then in the game itself you might say, "Right, well, I watched that striker, I think I know where he wants to run or where he wants to put the ball"?
No, I just take mental notes. Like, I'd be constantly thinking like, "Oh, this and that and whatever," and I would go and speak to Dara or Neil regarding what I've seen and what I think. And obviously, I've seen Shells loads of times, so I had a good idea of what they were like. So I would have spoke just briefly. It's not major. To be fair, the lads have their work done anyway, but obviously, any extra you can help, you give advice.
I'm right in saying Longford unbeaten?
You are indeed.
So lastly, on the football, before we speak about your work and the fact that you're combining a job with football as well, there must be a real sense in the group of, if we can keep this run going of, you know, six league games and stuff, of not being beaten, you have a good chance to finish in those top four spots, because if the teams around you don't beat you and you continue to beat the other teams that you have done so far, it gives you a great, great chance. And there's not too many other teams in the country, I think there's nobody else probably who are unbeaten, certainly not in the First Division anyway.
No, Dundalk were the last, they were beaten on Friday, so we were close against Wexford, but we never gave up. And as I said, it's that never say die attitude that we have at the moment. So we'll be looking, I think it starts with defending, and I don't mean defenders, I mean defending from the front. Like, the lads will press in the right areas. They don't just run into players with no real press. So starts from there, and then clean sheets are obviously a foundation because we'll generally score. I think Longford only kept 8 league clean sheets last year. We already have 4. So we have a target, and it is in double figure. So I have a personal target also. So I'll be aiming to fulfil both of them. And I think as long as we keep keeping them clean sheets, we will obviously win games or get points. So yeah, we're just taking them one game at a time. We're not looking too far. We have a goal, we know what we want to do, so we'll try our best to play well. We will have off nights, but if we can stay unbeaten, we have a great chance.
And Lee, across all of this, you're also working full time, and it's a theme that I like to explore in the podcast with different guests, because, you know, not everybody in the league is full time. There's probably 8 Premier clubs and that's it. Everybody else is either in school, in college, or in work along with football, and you're one of those. So tell us what the day job is.
Yeah, generally, I've been through a couple of jobs like over time. I normally do a sales rep. I've worked for LucasAid, Blenders, sauce manufacturer, Diageo, covering Guinness, and a couple of other products. And now I'm with Heineken. So yeah, it's grand. Like you do your work and you have that bit of flexibility for sport, and kind of suits me. But obviously the goal would be to a full time footballer. Like, it is hard to kind of be as professional as you can. Like, whereas a good friend of mine, Pico, he's living in his own home now. He's playing full time the last 3 years, and he's an ultimate pro anyway. But he gets to do it without any distractions. So that's the goal. But I have a couple of things that I want to work towards to actually put that in place. You know, so.
Yeah, you mentioned Pico. That's Roberto Lopez of Shamrock Rovers, and also a good friend of yours is Keith Buckley from Bowes.
He is.
And Dave, our last image there involves Lee Stacey, Keith Buckley, and a very exotic animal. So yes, the lads went off. Is it to Vietnam, Cambodia, and Thailand in the off season? Last off season,
yeah, we did indeed. We went traveling for a couple of weeks.
Is that a monkey?
It is.
Okay, where did you meet him?
Met him in PP Island, Monkey Beach.
Okay, nice.
Unbelievable.
Monkey Beach. Go on. Explain to us, because the whole League of Ireland are away in the winter because they get a week off in the summer, and you're off, of course, for a long off season. And a lot of the players go off to different places around the world. And you guys went off for a few weeks and did the islands and stuff and let some cool animals.
Oh, it was unbelievable. So basically, you can rent the boat out for the day or half a day or whatever it was. So we took a half day and we went to Monkey Beach. You can get pictures with the monkeys. You're told not to bring food, but you can. We didn't know, but some of them can be vicious. Like if they're trying to pull something off you, don't react, just let them take it. Otherwise they bite you. We seen someone getting bit and it was gas. But we had baby ones and they were crawling up around us and everything like that. It was brilliant. And then we went off to the beach. Did you ever see the beach with Leonardo DiCaprio? Maya Bay.
Okay, go on.
That's closed for a car rebuild. So then we were off swimming. But Pico, obviously, he ruptured a tendon in his finger, so he couldn't really partake in many of the activities that we were doing. And we went to a lagoon and things like that. That's just on one day. It was unbelievable. I'd recommend to anyone to travel to Southeast Asia, and I think we're going to look at trying to do something similar again this year.
And just lastly, Lee, on that, yourself, Roberto and Keith are friends since you all play for Bowes together, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
And it's something, again, in the league, it's so common, and it's what I love about the league, that everybody knows everybody, and when you play against them, like, for example, actually, at your Longford game the last time, Roberto and Bucco were at the match.
Yeah, that's right.
I watched a bit of the second half with them, and they were talking about, you know, when Bowes play Rovers, and if they have to smash each other in a fair tackle or get one, you know, get his mate sent off or diving or do something, they will do it because they have to do it for their team. But once the match is over, they're best friends again, and that's something that's so common across the league, and it's something that I really love. And at the same time, it's unique and strange that kind of people are so close and best friends. Even some coaches and managers, they're at each other on the sideline. Once the game is over, they're mates again.
Yeah, like the three of us, we go for a coffee at least once a week. It used to be Thursdays, but changed to Wednesday because we train Tuesday and Thursday. But like them boys, like they play against each other obviously more than I would. But someone asked me last week, is it not strange for them? And I said, no, it's war, like on the pitch. Then but there's no friendship, and they go in hard and tackle, no problem. They wouldn't go to hurt anyone now, but they'll go hard. And Bucco as well, he'll try and get you sent off, no problem. He's probably one of the most intelligent footballers I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And played with, like, especially for Bray, like, I don't think many people know this, but I think he had 14 assists playing at right back.
Right back, correct, yeah.
And he
had never played there before, and he hasn't played there since.
And didn't take a set piece.
Okay.
So that's unbelievable. Like, so I give him that credit. I don't give him much, but he is very clever, and he's very cute. Like, he'll try and especially Pico, try and get him sent off.
Well, hopefully I'll see the two boys again in City Calling Stadium on Saturday for Longford against Bray. Lee, thanks a million for coming in.
Thanks, James. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, Lee Stacey of Longford Town. That is almost it for the latest episode of the Off the Ball League of Ireland podcast. The first division fixtures: Drogheda, Shells, Limerick, Wexford, Cabinteely, Athlone, and Galway Cove all kick off at 7:45 on Friday. One game on Saturday, a game Lee will be in goal for, and I'll be watching in City Calling Stadium. It's Longford Town against Bray Wanderers. Now, that is it for the Off the Ball League of Ireland podcast. Thank you very much for listening, and to all of our guests. More from all of them, from Bastian Erry, from Peter Cherry, and of course from Lee Stacey, in the podcast section of offtheball.com. And we're back with you next Wednesday, folks. See you later. Bye-bye.
The best League of Ireland podcast in the business. Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store. This is Off the Ball.